Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he reigns victorious. Over sin,
over death, over wrong, over us. My Bible. And this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. And last week, you know that we, if you were here, talked about grace makes a place. And in 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And the good news is, what God's grace on your life and mine does is it causes us to be the significant part of the kingdom, the significant part of the body that we are. And I implore you in the name of the Lord, if you're not aware of where you fit, just ask the Lord to help you fit in, because you are an important part of his plan and purpose, and so vital for us to get connected and fitting in and functioning. Pastor Peter talked about last Sunday night, how it is vital for us to understand that we're people of the kingdom, especially in this moment, this week, that we're so blessed and proud to be Americans, but we're kingdom people, and that reality needs to be significant to us. It needs to be vivid. It needs to be real. It needs to be something significant in our thinking that we're people of the kingdom. Because you know what? Wednesday morning, when I get up and do my morning devotions, you know what I'm going to say? Jesus, you're Lord. Someone will be president or be president-elect, but Jesus, you're Lord. And I'll pray for whoever the president is. I'll pray for President Trump. I'll pray for President Clinton. I'll pray for whoever that ends up being, because that's what we're going to do, because we're kingdom people. First and foremost, we're people of the kingdom. Now, we pray for a righteous outcome, because righteousness will exalt our nation. It won't be a personality or a platform. It'll be righteousness that exalts a nation. That's why I encourage you to look at the platform. And if there's any issues of righteousness, that's where God will lead you to take a stand. And you're smart enough to figure that out, so I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I mentioned last week I had a nasty email from someone because I'm supposed to tell people how to vote. But I'm not going to do that, though. Because you remember when you read the Gospels how Jesus would go around telling people how to vote. Remember that? No. I don't remember it either. So I'm going to say just as much about that as Jesus did. Nothing, honey. Anyway. So we talked about this from 1 Corinthians 15, how Paul said, God's grace on me makes me, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And he said that grace was not invested in my life in vain, because I labored hard as a result of his grace. And he said, it's actually not me that labored, but the grace that was on me that did the laboring. And so we embrace the grace message. I love this kind of in the past few years, this great focus that the Holy Spirit has been leading people to talk more about grace and to be free from a performance and bondage and trying to establish self-righteousness, and that we're free from that and that we really truly do walk in grace. And sometimes people need to be delivered from their religious busyness. And in fact, Thursday night, Shelley said a great quote. She said, sometimes people's compulsive religious activity is a result of their running from God. Not running to God, but running from God. And so they get busy because as a believer, we have a sense that we should be doing something. But rather than establish a sweet communion with our Heavenly Father and walking with Jesus and loving Jesus and worshiping Jesus and really having that kind of an intimate relationship with Him, we do religious things, and it is an inferior substitute for relationship with Him. From that sweet place of relationship, that's where we minister. But we can't just be compulsive about our religious duty and religious performance. That's good preaching right there. God bless you. Drive safely. Well, wait. Let me give you communion first. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here, the Apostle Paul, we referred to this last week, the Corinthian church had some issues. They loved the Lord. They loved the things of God. They loved the Holy Spirit and His ministry. They were a little bit spiritually underdeveloped and immature. The telltale signs of that were, as Paul points out in this passage here, these few chapters, that there was comparing going on and spiritual pride. I have the gift of this and I have the gift of that. And they were puffed up a little bit. So Paul had to help them. And so first he starts out with this very encouraging chapter 12 and telling them that every one of you have a significant place. You're all important. All of us as believers, we all get to participate in kingdom stuff. I know I talk about this a lot, but it just seems like the body of Christ needs to be encouraged pretty continuously about our significance and our importance, because a lot of believers, it appears to me, are on the sidelines of kingdom business. So come down out of the bleachers, get down here on the playing field, and maybe it's a simple part, maybe it's not in your mind a profound part, but if it's what God calls you to do, then be happy with that, because He puts us in the body as it pleases Him. How many of you have your favorite football player? First of all, go Cubs. How about the Cubs? Seriously. Go. Oh my gosh. And God bless the Cubs. And I have been a Cub fan all my life. I'm not a great baseball fan, but I've been a Cub fan all my life. Grew up in Illinois. And my mom and I were Cubs fans, because we were about halfway between St. Louis and Chicago. My mom was from the Chicago area. And so she and I were Cubs fans. My dad and my sister were Cardinals fans. And it wasn't a big rivalry. You know, we would... I wish my dad were alive to know the Cubs won the World Series. Even though he's a Cardinal fan, he'd get tickled by that. But you have your favorite player, and you want them to perform well. And, you know, aren't you glad for the Gatorade guy that squirts the Gatorade in his mouth? And so it seems like the Gatorade person, but it's important. It's important in the big picture. So if you're a Gatorade squirter, go for it, baby. If you're a quarterback in the kingdom, do that well. But let's all do our part. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is given this encouragement and some instruction. And we're going to read pretty much the whole chapter, so just follow along with me. I'm reading from the King James Bible because it's the Holy Bible. But I also like New Living and the Message, and Phillips Translation is one of my favorites. But I'll read from the King James because that's important to some people. They'll fight you over that kind of deal. But anyway, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, church, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to some dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts. Everyone say diversities. There are diversities of gifts, and there are differences of administrations. Everyone say differences. And there are diversities of operations. Everyone say diversities. So those words could be translated different, different, different. And so different is celebrated in the mind of God. There are different gifts, and there are different operations, and there are different administrations of those gifts. So different, different. So there are different gifts in the body, and let's say the pastor gift is what Jesus has called me and anointed me to be, and so I do it differently from Jack Hayford, where Gavin and Patty went to church for many years. I do it differently from Dr. Fred Price, which is where Pastor Craig and Pastor DC grew up there with Dr. Fred Price. I don't pastor. He does it differently than I do it. I don't pastor like T.D. Jakes. I wish I could a little closer to that, because he's a great man of God, but I'll just be the best me I can be. He's already being T.D. Jakes. I don't need to be T.D. Jakes. I don't need to be Benny Hinn, because Benny Hinn is already Benny Hinn. I don't want to be Billy Graham, because he's got that spot covered. Different, different, different. Different gifts, different administrations and different operations of those gifts. But it is the same God that's working it all out, worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man and woman, every person, to profit with all. So the Holy Spirit wants to empower you, whatever your gift is, however you administrate that gift, however you operate in that gift, that he gives those gifts and the Holy Spirit is orchestrating that to profit with all, to profit everyone, and to be a blessing to the body of Christ. So it is important that we lean in to what God has called us to do and we press forward and participate and start acting on what the Spirit of God is doing with us. And here's, so he goes and talks about this, the gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know that this is necessarily a comprehensive gift, because I believe there are lots of gifts like the gift of hospitality, gift of kindness, gift of encouragement. But these are Holy Spirit gifts that are specific. And so here are some of the things that the Lord may be trying to do in your life. For to one, verse 8, for to one is given by the Holy Spirit, or by the Spirit of God, a word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of faith. To another, the gifts of healing. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. And to another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every person severally as he will. And we're going to transition here a little bit, but I want you to know that the gifts of the Spirit are not relegated only to coming up front, holding a microphone, saying, thus saith the Lord. No, this can happen. The ministry of Jesus, Pastor DC and I were talking about this week. The ministry of Jesus primarily was as he journeyed. Outside, I'm working on a message. It's entitled, Jesus was usually ticked off in the temple, where there were hurting, wounded, broken, sinful people. He was merciful and patient and kind and gentle and healing. Yes. But where there was self-righteousness, they got whipped up on. Yeah, where there were people who were looking down or condescending and had spiritual superiority complexes, that Jesus would get out the whip and kind of whip up on that stuff. He didn't care about that, because it blocks, but that kind of behavior and thinking blocks people from the life-giving connection and relationship that he wanted to have. And he was able to have that out in the streets with hurting people. But he couldn't have that with religious people who were always ticked off at him. And look at him, he's hanging out with that person. Ew. And that's who he came for, you and me, because that's who we were. And so the gifts of the Spirit were so prolific in Jesus' ministry, right out into the street. You know, the woman at the well, I love that story. He engages her. He needed to go to Samaria because there's where the woman was at the well. And he just simply strikes up a simple conversation with her, begins to move in as the Holy Spirit led him into her life, into her pain, into her dysfunction, into her brokenness, and brought hope and healing right there on the spot. Yeah. And so transformed her life, she became the greatest evangelist in her city. She went out and got everyone, hey, you need to come hear Jesus. You need to know about Jesus. Come out here. And got everyone in town to come out and engage with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And I don't think he got a spiritual glaze over his countenance and started speaking King James English. I don't think Jesus spoke King James English. I'm pretty sure he didn't. I did study that stuff, you know. And yea, I would say this night that thou hast been married 5 times. No, I don't think he did it that way. I think he just talked to her. And so I encourage you just to go love people and talk to people. And when the Holy Spirit with compassion stirs you about something where they may be hurting in their life, just begin to gently ease into those things. And you might just be surprised how powerfully anointed you are in the things of the Spirit. Are you with me? Okay. So let's read on here, because I think this message is important that all of us fit together. I think it's important for our nation. You know, the enemy is trying to divide us, and he uses words and uses things to divide us. We have so much more in common than we have that should separate us as Americans. And so I pray that as the body of Christ, as God's people, that we begin to come together and acknowledge and celebrate one another, and that as a nation, we begin to do that as well. And so this is a great time to have communion. I think it's very apropos. Let's read on, though. So he divides those, the Holy Spirit divides those gifts severally to every person. For as the body is one, now he uses as an analogy here, this great, simple analogy of a human body. All of us can relate with this. I think it's important when you read the New Testament, you see that all the illustrations are generally very simple, like sowing seeds in the ground. There's a lot of themes around that. Catching fish. Look at the birds, Jesus said. Consider the flowers. Let's think of the body of Christ. Let's think of the family of God like a body. And so he uses, so when the enemy comes into your mind or to your mind, your thinking or mine, we have a quick reference. We can just look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, I'm part of a body. I mean, this is my body and it has different parts. And I'm part of a kingdom that has a body, the body of Christ, and is made up of different parts. So that's his analogy. And let me move quickly through this. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so it is with Christ. So he's kind of reiterating that whole thought over and over again there. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Whether we're Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've all been made to drink of into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. How many of you got that? That's heaven talking to us. You have a body, so think about your body. It's not what you have, it's one body, it's a unit, but it's made up of different parts. That's important. Why is that important? Because when we, in our heads, start making comparisons, comparing ourselves to others or comparing ourselves against others or comparing ourselves with other parts of the body, and we play those mind games that God says, please don't do that, our body is a quick reference to, wait a minute. I'm going to do my part. I might be the left hand, wish I were the right hand. I might be an eye and wish I were the ear, and so on, that we can stop that to appreciate that we are one body. How many of you know that when if you've stubbed your toe, your whole body goes into action? Well, he talks about that actually in here, so let's read on. Verse 14, the body is not one member but many. If the foot will say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? Well, of course it's still part of the body. We can say what we will. Let me give you a personal testimony. When God started stirring in me to call me to preach, I was not happy. I don't want to be a preacher. I want to be a banker. I don't want to be a preacher. I was just not interested in that. I love the Lord, and I would have gone to church, and I've been a tither all my life since I was first got a job at about 13 years of age, cleaning the bathroom and office at a tire store, then worked in a restaurant, and then the bank, and so on. And I've always been, I would have been a churchgoer, I would have supported my church, I would have been a tither and a giver. That was all fine. I just didn't want to be a preacher. And so that was me. I'll be part of the body, but I don't want to be a preacher. No, I want to be a banker in the body. And so trying to work out my own will when I'm supposed to be yielded to his will. And then I'll be a preacher, Lord. And so then you try and negotiate your place in the body. Okay, Lord, I'll be a preacher, but I'm not going to be a pastor. I'll be an evangelist. That's exciting. And I loved to watch Jimmy Swaggart back in the day, the kinder, gentler Jimmy. I don't want to be known for what I'm against. I want to be known for what I'm for. And so sometimes. But I used to watch him. I went one time to a Jimmy Swaggart meeting. And, you know, back in the day, he'd bring in those 18-wheelers with all of his equipment and stuff. And he'd bring his own piano in there and his own grand piano because, man, he could play the piano and sing and get that all set up. And I'm sitting there and watch him come in, come onto the platform. And he had this leather bag, his little satchel, his briefcase. I thought, oh, that's cool. I'm going to get me a bag like that. I'm going to find me a leather bag like Jimmy Swaggart. I'm going to be an evangelist. That seemed attractive to me. And so I told the Lord, you know, I'll do ministry. Well, first I tried to negotiate that I do it on weekends. Full Gospel Businessman was big at that time. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it on weekends. I'll be a preacher, but I'm going to be a Full Gospel Businessman preacher. And then I'm going to be a banker. And then that wasn't so that didn't fit how I was trying to work myself into the body. And then I'm not going to be a pastor, but I'll be an evangelist. And that's not going to work because that's not my calling and placement in the body. And so finally, and I love this. I love you. I love being here. I love pastoring. This is wonderful. Love this. But I could have missed it by insisting that I wanted a different place in the body. So that's the battle. And sometimes, you know, well, Norbert got to sing and I didn't get to sing. And maybe you're called to sing in the shower only. Did you ever think about that? If the ear would say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body was an eye, who would do the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, verse 17, where would the olfaction happen, smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of us in the body as it pleases him. And if we were all one member, where would the body be? But now now are there many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand. So first of all, we have this tendency to say, okay, Lord, if I don't get to be this, I'm not going to be part of the body. Then we have this other thing where we discount other people. So we discount ourselves, and we're not supposed to do that, and we discount others, and we're not supposed to do that. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Let's skip down to verse 25. There should be no schism or division in the body. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And there's the stubbing your toe. When we stub our toe, the rest of the body cares for the toe. That's why when we have a memorial service or a funeral, you come. Why? Because there's someone there hurting. There's someone there grieving. And we surround them and we care for them as the body because they're hurting. And if someone is honored and celebrated, we rejoice with them. That's how the body functions. Whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, and so on. And so I want you to see here that we are the body. And there's no greater reminder that we are the body of Christ than when we receive this communion table, because he was broken and wounded, and he bled and died so that we could be one, and that we fit into his plan, and that he has welcomed us into his family and into participation into kingdom business. And so we cannot be critical of one another. It's important for us to be knit together, find our place and function there. If you're a left hand and wish you were a right ear, just be the best left hand that you can. And if you know, maybe God in his grace will show you how important you are, but it's important for us to connect with our place, okay? And so here's, this is kind of funny, and how we have a tendency to be critical of one another. A wife was making breakfast of fried eggs for her husband, and suddenly her husband burst into the kitchen in a panic. Careful, he said, careful, put in some more butter. Oh my gosh, you're cooking too many eggs at once, too many. Turn them now, we need more butter. Oh my gosh, where are we going to get more butter? They're going to stick. Careful, I said be careful. You never listen to me when you're cooking, never. Turn them, hurry up. Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Don't forget to salt them. You know you always forget to salt them. Use the salt. The wife stared at him and said, what in the world is wrong with you? You think I don't know how to fry a couple of eggs? And the husband calmly replied, of course I'm aware that you know how to fry eggs. I just wanted you to experience what it feels like when I'm driving. So sometimes we get real anxious about someone else's deal, when we should be focused on our own business. And in the body of Christ, you just be an encourager, not a critic. And celebrate one another. So bow your heads for a moment if there's anyone here today that would say, Pastor.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.